To the order of this time, coming to you from the voice of the New World Order in the winter capital, Mexico City.
Get used to that, folks. That may be what you're listening to pretty soon. And, of course, in the summer capital will be in Canada. What do you think about that? You know, we are going to have open phones tonight and talk about all the things that are on your mind after the last week of listening to all the different stories and the BS and the crap. And did you hear the latest from L. Fletcher Prouty? The umbrella did it. The umbrella did it. And according to Robert Roden, Kennedy was hit in the head once from the front and once from the rear, all at the same time. You can read about it in his book. Of course, he's not making any money from his book, or from the videotape that he's selling, or from the 600-page picture book. But I sold 120 copies of a black-and-white version of the JFK tape made by Lars Hansen, which he gave me, and I'm making millions. Let's talk about all this tonight, folks. This is just killing me. You know, I almost didn't get here on time. The Learjet wouldn't start.
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag is a pledge to the ideals of our forefathers, the men who fought and died in the building of this great nation. It's a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States, and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the four great freedoms cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United
to the hour of the time. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill Cooper. This is Joe in Tucson.
Hi, Joe.
I got two comments. I did watch Walter Cronkite's show on the Nova again today, and it's just exactly like you said. You can see the driver turn around just as clear as a bell. in the Zapruder film. They were played again tonight here in the China 6 in Tucson.
Yeah, and you didn't get that from me, did you? I mean, that film, you didn't get that from me, did you?
No, I didn't.
So I didn't play with it, did I?
No, that one I bought for $8 directly from Florida someplace.
Yeah, and nobody's ever seen Grodin's pristine copy. He's been saying for years that he's going to drag out his pristine copy and bury Bill Cooper, and he hasn't done it yet. Because
well, there's something else that occurred that I'm sure you're aware of, but let me just bring it up.
Go for it.
United States News, or U.S. News and World Report, August the 30th, page 97, shows a photograph of the Zapruder film 313,
uh-huh.
And you can clearly see the driver with his gun in his left hand shooting President Kennedy in the face. I have this magazine. If you don't have it, I'll send you one.
Oh, we have it. We've got everything that's ever been done on this whole stuff. We have a picture of Lee Harvey Oswald standing in the front doorway of the book depository building as the motorcade passes by. He wasn't even up there. This guy Posner has got bats in his belfry. You could probably follow him to a lodge, too.
Right.
The only question
is... Another comment. This is about the black helicopters.
Yeah.
Okay. This information, Ken, comes from an employee of the Pima County. And I know him personally. And he indicated to me that the county employees have been told that the major Air Force base, which is Davis-Monthan, right in the middle of Tucson,
it's going to close.
Is going to be closed, and replaced, or that is the people who are taking over the base are the Federal Bureau of Prisons and the Federal Law Enforcement Training Centers. And I personally, as I have observed, hundreds of black helicopters that are unmarked going in and out of that place. And people are telling me that there's a lot of foreign soldiers there, straight uniforms that they don't understand. Question was, when is this going to happen? Well, tonight we got another county official telling us that it's going to happen sometime, at least this is what they are told from the federal administrator, and I guess, I don't know where that is. The federal administrator is telling the county that sometime between January 1st and June 1st, this thing is supposed to come down.
Never happened.
Okay, I'm glad.
First, they got to take out the Patriots in this country, and they got to have a major holiday to do that.
Yeah, I suppose.
And the Patriots listen to me, they won't be home on Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, that's all I have. I'll let somebody else talk.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.
Number 602-333-2174. Folks, give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. Let's talk, as what's-her-name would say. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
Yes, I heard the Tom Donahue.
I need you to put the phone right in front of your mouth and speak louder.
Okay, how's that?
That's a little better.
All right. I also heard the Tom Donahue interview yesterday.
Yeah.
And I want to point out some inconsistencies with his reasoning.
Go ahead.
he gives us evidence that William Greer never took his hands off the wheel by pointing to the 1963 life frame-by-frame pictures.
Yeah.
And it would seem to me that it would be very easy to take out a couple frames.
Well, that's exactly what they did. The life, the pictures that were published in Life in 1963 were switched around. They're not even in the proper order that they appear in the Zapruder film.
Okay. And number two, he says that... that you didn't take into account that Mr. Connolly would have been in the line of fire. But the way I picture it, that is, if William Greer was at the front left of the car and Mr. Kennedy was at the rear right, it would have given him a clear diagonal line of fire.
Well, you get a ribbon for having brains.
Well,
but you see, these people really believe that we're all so stupid we can't figure all this stuff out. Not only that, but if you look at the Zapruder film, you'll see that by the time that the headshot is administered, Kennedy's been hit, Connolly's been hit. Connolly has, in fact, turned around with his back toward his wife and fallen down on top of her. And his head is in no way in anybody's line of fire, no matter which direction they're firing from. And you can see this in my 6th or 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th generation film that's that you can't see, and it's all hazy and is copied from Bob Grodin's film.
I have seen it, and it's very convincing. I noticed that you were attacked, but the film itself was not attacked.
That's the way these socialists work, and that's the way these people work. When they can't address the facts, they attack the character of the person. Grodin has done this from the beginning. from the very first time I began to talk about what I knew and show the film that Lars Hansen and John Lear had given me, Bob Groden began telling everybody that I was crazy, that this didn't happen, that you can't see it in the film, but everybody looks at it, can see it, and that I'm a Looney Tune and all this kind of stuff, and began attacking my character, telling everybody that I'm a drunk, I beat my wife, and all of this kind of stuff that's absolutely not true, and anybody who's ever been around me for any length of time knows that. And if you use your head, how could I do this program 5 nights a week if I was that kind of a person? It just couldn't happen, and my daughter couldn't be have the wonderful personality that she has if I were that kind of person. I have challenged Bob Groden to a public debate. Let him show what does pristine mean? Does that mean he's got a virgin film or something? No light has ever struck it? What does that mean? That's a crock of crap. There is no such thing as anything being pristine once it's been in this world for over 3 minutes. It's something that hits the public. They don't understand what it means. They think it's perfect. And be careful of this term, optical enhancement. Optical enhancement means they changed the film.
I see. Now, let me ask you. Some people that I've spoken with, they say, well, maybe the film you saw has been doctored or whatever. Where can I get a corroborating film of that nature? Was it in a J?
You must have seen the old film that we did.
Huh?
When did you get that film?
I got it pretty recently.
Pretty from us?
No. From Ralph Ebison.
Oh, okay. The film that we have is a first generation copy off the original Zapruder film. If anything in this world is pristine, it's my copy and not Groden's, but I wouldn't even never use that term because it's ridiculous. But I actually have a better copy of the Zapruder film than Bob Groden does. And you can see in there clearly where the film has been doctored and tampered with, and that's the reason we made this documentary. It took me years and thousands of dollars to finally be able to get to somebody who had access to get us a copy who would take the money that we offered. And what we have shows that, without any doubt, it was a conspiracy, that they have literally scraped the emulsion off the film in several different places in the film, extensive doctoring, that they have opaqued the taillights of the vehicle so that you won't see it coming to a stop. They've done all kinds of things. Groden's assessment that Greer has both hands on the steering wheel is an absolute lie. You can't even see the steering wheel in the film. That's how much doctoring has been done to it.
I don't doubt there's lies woven all throughout this. I have one final question.
So write us a letter. We'll send you an info packet, and you can send for the sacrificed king. Not only that, but in that documentary, you'll see what's really in Dealey Plaza that all these people don't talk about because they're members of the order and they don't want you to know about the occult significance of Dealey Plaza or Kennedy's wounds. And something I forgot to mention last night, Dallas is on the 33rd parallel, and I could go on and on and on. The occult connection to Kennedy's assassination is so incredible that it cannot be denied.
All right, but there's just one final question. Now, these men such as Tom Donning, you and Valentine and others, why are they talking about a conspiracy, but they discount the main evidence that would prove it? Why are they involved in this?
You can't catch flies without honey, my friend, and you can't make the people who would fight against the conspiracy spin around and be totally impotent unless you can get them to listen to you. You understand what I'm saying?
They're trying to redirect our energies.
That's exactly what they're doing, and so far they've been so successful that it's pathetic. I look around over this nation of sheeple, and it makes me literally furious sometimes.
I'm just amazed that this could be going on.
Well, it is, my friend.
All right. I thank you.
You're welcome.
I think.
This is exactly what the Nazi Party did in Germany to bring Hitler to power. It's what's happened throughout history, ladies and gentlemen. It is nothing new. It's just that you people don't want to look at history and think that it could ever happen here. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello. Chickened out. Okay, let's try somebody else. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
This is Bernie in Illinois.
Hi, Bernie. How you doing?
Okay. While we're on this subject, there's one question I would like to ask of you. To me, it looks like on Zapruder that
is your radio,
Kennedy gets...
Wait, hold it. Is your radio on?
Yeah, it is.
Turn it off, please.
All right.
You people don't have any idea what that does through all this equipment if you leave your radio on and call in. So remember, when you call any radio show, not just this one, turn your radio off, please.
I didn't think it was up that high.
Okay, go ahead.
But on the headshot, am I missing something, or is the president being, is his body moving rearwards at that time?
Yes.
And what is the conventional explanation for this if the shot came from behind?
Oh, they're saying that this is some kind of a nervous reaction, that the nerves are actually propelling him backwards, even though he was shot from behind, and that that this is a normal thing. I was in combat. I saw a lot of men shot. So have a lot of other people. This is absolutely ridiculous, asinine lie. But because most of the public has no experience with death or the way people are hit and what their bodily reactions are, they do what they're taught to do. They believe authority.
The single bullet type of theory, there were three shots. The first one missed entirely, and the second one would go through both Kennedy and then straight on forward into Connally, who was seated in front of him. And then Connally was supposedly only hit by this one shot, and not by one that was from the headshot.
What's your question?
I guess that was...
You want to know if that's correct, in my opinion?
Yes.
No. No, it's not. I don't believe it's correct. I believe Kennedy was hit in the throat. I believe Connally was hit with a completely different bullet. I believe Kennedy was then shot in the head with a completely different bullet. I believe that the back wound didn't come from a bullet at all, but was administered at a later time. The doctor said he stuck his finger in that wound, and it was only 1/2 inch deep. I believe it was administered to conform with the wounds suffered by Hiram Abiff in the Masonic initiation. They had to have those three wounds to make the sacrifice that happened on Elm Street in the Grove of Osiris in front of the phallus in the Temple of the Sun, complete, my friend. And if you'll look back through history, they always conducted the sacrifices in the Temple of the Sun at local apparent noon.
Or they did their trips around the altar.
That's right.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Thank you for calling. Well, folks, number 602-333-2174. Gosh, did you park the Learjet, Carolyn? Did you park it?
I was thinking you were going to leave again. Very soon. I wouldn't have to turn it off.
Oh, it's still out there running, huh?
Right.
Yeah. All this money I'm making, I'm going to go hop in my Learjet, and Carolyn and I and Annie and Pooh, we're going to zip down to Mexico City while the spending is still hot down there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I was on the air.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a couple questions. I'm here up here in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And
it's a good place to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need a fireplace right about now, though, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty hot here. The black helicopter, a friend of mine is on the SWAT team up here and covered, helped protect the Pope when he was in town. And I saw the black helicopters. I saw the Pope getting out of one. Saw pictures of it.
Separation of church and state.
Yeah, no.
Where was the ACLU and all these namby-pamby poo-poos that wanted to do away with the church when the Pope came? And we paid for it.
And we paid for it.
Well, they were defending that. I mean, they were coming out against the Adventists and stuff, or speaking out against the Pope, so go figure that one. Anyway, in the editorial page, it has quite an attack on local control. It talks about Goals 2000 report. Do you know anything about education and how that's supposed to play into the New World Order?
Yeah, outcome-based education. The school will become the center of the community. Children will be taken away from the parents and trained by the state. Everybody will have to go to school for their whole life. And the school literally is going to become the center of each community, where you will be taught what to think, what to write, what to say. And,
they want the children before the age of 5, too.
That's interesting, yeah, because there's a guy up here called John Lesser. He used to have a show, and he talked a lot about that. The other thing, I sent you a book today, so you should be getting that soon.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I love books.
Yeah. And God bless you and all your work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Take care.
Well, folks, who is Tom Donahue? Why is Tom Donahue attacking me? I've never attacked him. Don't know anything about him. Tonight, he said I was selling a sixth-generation film that I stole from Robert Groden, and that I lied about William Greer turning to shoot the president and all of this kind of stuff. Tom Donahue's never talked to me, never seen the film that I'm selling. And I want somebody out there who has purchased The Sacrificed King from us. I want you to call in and tell them just exactly what that film is, whether it's sixth generation or all that kind of stuff. The truth is, folks, I paid a lot of money for that film, a lot of money. It took me years to get it just so that I could give you the original Zapruder film uncut with all its frames intact and let you see it frame by frame. I want one of you people who have purchased The Sacrifice King from us to call up and tell the listening audience what's on that video so they can hear it from somebody besides me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Bill calling from Laconia, New Hampshire.
Hello, Bill.
Good evening, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. You both are doing a hell of a fine job, and anybody up here that hears you knows that. I'd like to ask you about a comment you made a little bit ago, Mr. Cooper.
Go for it.
I think I heard you say if you're a patriot, it would be well for you not to be home on Thanksgiving or Christmas?
That's correct.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in the past, the way the socialists have taken power is to take out patriot leaders on national holidays in whatever country that they were coming or trying to come to power, knowing that they would be home full of a big meal, maybe had a few alcoholic drinks, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, the doors come crashing down, and you're, in effect, helpless. They know you're there, number one. You're full of a turkey. You're full of a few drinks. You're sound asleep in the middle of the night, and they got you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That
clarifies that. Apparently, you had delved into that before, and I must have missed it.
Oh, yeah. I'm a great student of history. I know how these people, I know how they work. I know how they've worked in all the revolutions that they've brought to bear in the past. And I know in this country, there's only two holidays where you can count on every single person in this whole country being at home, and that's Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Good thinking. Okay, Mr. Cooper. Thanks a million.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174 is the number. And by the way, that number is our fax number for the other 23 hours of the day. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Gene Miller from Swiss America.
Hi, Gene. What happened to you last night?
I
was sitting here waiting. You went to sleep, didn't you?
No, I didn't go to sleep.
You didn't go to sleep?
Did you miss the program?
Actually, I did. I had some family problems to tend to that I had to deal with, and it was just something beyond my control, but it's handled.
Okay.
So I apologize for that, and then I just couldn't get through till just now.
Did you get the roses today?
The roses?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't get any roses?
No.
You better not go home.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just teasing, Gene. Tell us about the metals market.
Well, gold is up slightly just today, about a dollar. Silver was up just a few pennies, up to about, well, gold closed at about $378 an ounce. Silver closed at about $4.70 an ounce. Both of them have been, the trend has been up ever since NAFTA passed. The stock market has been basically down. Today it was more or less just steady. But since it passed, we've probably seen about a 50-point drop in the stock market, and so it seems to be reacting negatively in it.
Gene, have you noticed who's selling the stock?
I think the more or less just the common everyday individual person that was that called in and didn't vote, you know, was raising their voice saying they didn't want this thing to pass.
Actually, let me tell you who was dumping most of the stock. Japan, Germany, France, Great Britain. Does that tell you something?
Well, they're losing confidence in the American government to govern.
That's right. And if NAFTA was such a great thing, why are they losing confidence?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to make that point because I think it's important.
I'm glad you did. The numismatic coins have been all... Everything's basically been up on that, so Everything's all well with that. Everything's holding real steady. I think what we're going to see is, just from the research and reading I'm doing, we possibly could see $400 gold. Maybe even by the end of this month, a good chance or a better chance by the end of December and then on up from there. Stock market, again, as we've stressed many, many, many times, it's overvalued.
Gene, can I trade my Learjet for some gold?
You bet.
Okay. I'll have my pilot take it down to Phoenix tomorrow.
So there we go.
I don't know how he's going to get home, though. Can you throw in a wagon?
A wagon?
Yeah, with an ox.
Sure we go.
Thanks, Gene.
One thing I wanted to mention, because I was talking to somebody over the phone this week, and they had bought some stuff from somebody else, and, you know, hey, that's anybody's prerogative, but unfortunately, they bought some junk. You know, really, it wasn't going to do them a whole lot of good, and they didn't know what they bought, and it was just kind of, they had no game plan and no rhyme or reason to what they bought, and just some broker from another place told them, here, buy this, you know, something that they were just trying to unload, what I have, and I want to mention this, I have a pneumatist on staff, and I know it sounds like a, you know, $15 word, but he's a person who is, I guess, gifted and educated in the study of coins and the grading and of coins and portfolios. His name is Earl Brown, and I was talking to him today because when that person talked to me about what they had bought, and I thought, good grief, where did you get this stuff, you know? And so what I've asked him to do, anybody that has bought, you know, and I'm not going to tell you to sell it or anything, but you need to know what you got, and you need to know whether you're in a good position or whether you got taken or what. But anybody out there who has bought coins from somebody else, not going to be critical, but you need to find out what you got and if it makes rhyme or reason. Anyhow, give Earl Brown a call tomorrow just for a free evaluation of your portfolio. You're not going to be pressured to buy anything. You just take a look at what you got, and if it makes sense, you know, he'll tell you that. He's you know, very honest and upfront. But give him a call tomorrow. His name is Earl Brown. He works with me, and he'll do you good as far as helping you out and looking at what you got. Now, if you're happy with it, that's another story.
Gene, I could just add that I'm glad to hear that because I've had a couple of calls with the same problem and referred them to you, and I'll be able to tell them a little more.
Yeah, I mean, it does exist. I mean, I can't tell you, number of clients that have bought products that have paid 50 to 100% higher than what they should have, and they don't know what to do. There are steps that you can do, and there's a procedure that you can do to rectify the situation, and so that's where, you know, we can come in and help you out, and maybe you got a good deal. I've told people, and I'm honest with them, if they can get if they've gotten a good deal, I'll flat out tell them, hey, that's a good deal, and you did okay. You can't get hurt, but it's nice to know that. So we'd be more than happy to help you out in just evaluating any portfolio that you may have bought from another company out there, and hey, there's scores of company out, companies out there. Second thing, call in if you haven't received any of our newsletters yet. The Right to Own Gold, the Figgy Report, the newsletter from Swiss American Trading is free of cost, and we'll show you how to get started in this market. And that's the main thing. As I stress to my clients and the people that do call in, some people get the idea, well, I got to be a millionaire or something. I got to be filthy, wealthy to be able to do this. That's not true. There's something for every level. And the point is that you do something, that you get off the fence and you quit supporting this new world order and you get yourself protected and do something.
Right on.
So.
And, folks, call Gene Miller. It's 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You guys know how you are. You'll procrastinate and days will go by and you'll forget. So do it now. 1-800-289-2646 and only talk to Gene Miller, folks. He's the one who puts his efforts into this program, into all of the listeners. He's the one who takes care of your needs, and he's the one that we talk to when we have problems, and he's the one who straightens them out, and by golly, we've never failed to make people happy yet, have we, Gene?
That's correct. If there's ever anything that comes up, we will go the extra mile to fix it. And last thing I just want to mention, that we're going to work on some Christmas specials, some dynamite deals for people getting some bullion or some silver or something, but we'll get the details out. But we're working on some things that I think that you'll be happy with. So
wonderful.
Keep listening.
Thanks, Gene.
Colin.
And
have a happy, good Thanksgiving.
Okay.
All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Tell the family hi. And we got to take a break, folks. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Remember, folks, call Gene Miller at 1-800-289-2646. Do it right now. 1-800-289-2646. Only you can protect your financial future. And should you lose it, nobody is going to give you theirs. Okay, folks, I want to ask a favor of you. If you have not seen our film, The Sacrificed King, about the Kennedy assassination, hang up your phone right now. I want to hear only from somebody who has that film or who has viewed it. The Sacrificed King, that's our new Kennedy assassination film. Actually, it's not new. We've had it out for almost a year now. It's my creation. It didn't come from anybody else. And before that, we had another one that was over an hour, almost an hour and a half long, which was my documentary. That didn't come from anybody else either. So Tom Donahue and Robert Groden and all these other creepos, they either don't know what they're talking about or they're just intentionally lying. Anyway, I want to hear from those people only. If I hit that button and you don't have that film or haven't seen it, I'm going to hang right up on you. So let's do this and get it out of the way, and then the rest of you can call in and talk. Thank you. Okay, let's go to the phones and see if we got somebody here that's seen The Sacrificed King. You're on the air.
Yes, it seems like in listening to all the commentaries about reviewing the films and things,
uh-huh.
It seems like all the men are looking at the technical aspects of the trajectories and that sort of thing. Has anybody ever explained, or I've never heard an explanation of why it seems that Jackie appears to be crawling out the back of the vehicle?
She's trying to get away from the man that just shot her husband. Obvious.
Okay. Why hasn't anybody ever, or I've never heard anybody else give a plausible explanation for that, except for the fact that perhaps, as you said, the gunman was in the car with her.
That's right. And she was trying to bail out the back because she was afraid that maybe she was next. She saw Connolly shot. She saw her husband shot. She saw Mrs. Connolly beneath John Connolly on the floor and didn't have any idea whether she was shot or not. And she had every reason in the world to believe that she was next. And if Greer was the one who turned around and shot her husband, then that explains it all. Groden claims that she crawled out on the back to pick up some pieces of her husband's brain so that she could stuff them back in his head. And I say, knowing a woman who came from the background, the family that she came from, that's the last thing in the world she ever would have done. I got to let you go because we got to talk to somebody here who's seen our film, The Sacrificed King. Also, I want to let you know that I have always maintained that Jacqueline bailed out the back of the car to try to get away from the shooter. And it was a Secret Service man, her personal bodyguard, Clint Hill, who jumped up on the back bumper and forced her back into the car. I've been saying this since 1988.
Did he know that this was?
Did who know?
Clint Hill. Did he know this was taking?
I have no idea.
Is there any that I've ever heard? I've never heard an interview from him or her that I was, Kennedy or Nancy, whatever the name is now.
She's got children. Remember that.
Oh, that's true. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, somebody who's either has or has seen The Sacrificed King, please call in. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, I have seen The Sacrificed King.
Okay.
A friend of mine bought it. It's a very clear tape of what you say is true in the critical areas where you're trying to determine whether or not Greer turned around and shot him. It's impossible to do that. I mean, it just goes white.
Yeah. You can see Greer turn all the way around. By the way, anybody who turns all the way around with their right side completely against the back of the seat like Greer does could not possibly have both hands on the steering wheel. It is absolutely physically impossible, folks. Try it in your own automobile, and you'll find out. But you can tell. Could you tell where the emulsion had been scraped off, even up into the grass area?
Yeah, it's been quite a while since I viewed it.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just hard to tell
what's
going on there. It seemed more obvious. In fact, I had the first film from you from the, I guess it wasn't the Atlanta tapes, but the original one that we got from you.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed more obvious in that film that he had a gun, and I showed it to a bunch of people, and I said, well, there's a better film, and we're getting a copy. And then we got that, and I was disappointed that it didn't prove the one point that he actually did it, whether he did it or not, but I agree with your conclusion that it proves that that they've altered it.
Yeah, it proves conspiracy beyond any shadow of a doubt. Whoever altered that film is part of it.
Right.
And it could only have been one of three people. It could have either been Zapruder, could have been the photo lab in Washington, D.C., or Time Life. Those are the only three people that had the film, or the only three groups of people that had the film.
Right.
None of these people talk about the alteration of the film. Grodin claims to be the world's number one foremost photo analyst, and yet he never talks not once about the alteration of the film or the missing frames in the film that the establishment presents to the public. He doesn't talk about the frames that show apparently what appears to be a bullet going through the right lower half of the windshield. He doesn't talk about the white car that's under the overpass blocking the parade route until Kennedy's car almost runs into the back of it. He doesn't say anything about the guy who claimed to be standing next to that concrete pillar by the underpass and claims that a bullet hit the concrete and he was struck by pieces of the concrete in his face. He doesn't say anything about the fact that in the film that guy is not there, so is obviously lying.
Yeah, they're just a lot of misinformation and disinformation, and I'm not an expert on analyzing, you know, film like you are or they claim to be, and so it's very confusing. But having seen The Sacrificed King, you know, I'm convinced that you're the only one that's on the right track and, you know, basically telling what's going on. Listen, I've come across a book that I don't know if you have, and I've ordered a copy for you. It's called The Empire of the City by E.C. Knuth, K-N-U-T-H.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's called The Five Ideologies of Space and Power. It was first published in 1944, and it's basically about the British Empire, the Bank of England, Cecil Rhodes, Winston Churchill, how the international banksters have controlled the British Empire, and how the Federal Reserve is kind of a subsidiary of them. And he is apparently written an update published in 1986 called Empire of the City, World Superstate.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty quick read. It's extremely well documented and researched. And I've ordered a copy for myself and for a friend and one for you. And they couldn't guarantee they'd get it. But since it was published in 86, I think we'll have it. And I'm going to forward that to you as soon as I get it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think you'll really, really like it. I don't think it'll tell you anything really world-shattering that you don't already know, but it might fill in a few pieces.
Well, all you guys out there, don't assume that I know everything, because I don't, and we're always getting new pieces from people like you.
Yeah.
All the time.
This is a great book, so I think you'll, it took about 2 days, and it just read really fast, but it's great, and it was fascinating. Fascinating reading. I think you'll like it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Folks, remember, I'm no different than any of you. I've just been studying this for a long, long time. And except by an accident of assignment in the Navy, thinking that I was a Freemason and sticking me in the Office of Naval Intelligence, I would probably still be just as stupid as I was for a great portion of my life. So don't try to put me on a pedestal. I'll fall off so quick you'll never even know I was up there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Joe. This is Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I've seen The Sacrificed King quite a few times.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to tell everybody that's listening that hasn't seen it, or Tom Donahue, that it is a first generation. It's very, very, very clear. You can clearly see William Greer turn around. You can see where the emulsion was scraped up into the grass. you can also see between the front seat and the back seat, there's a little window that divides it. And if you look through that window, you can see what appears to be a gun, too.
Yeah, it appears that somebody's arm is going across the back of the seat, pointing directly at Kennedy's head. And what about the color of the film?
The color is very clear. I just have to say, it's as clear as day. It's the best film I've ever seen of the Zapruder film. And I've ordered, you know, the copy from Emerson, and I've seen other copies that they show on TV and stuff like that, and your copy is the best.
That's because it cost us right around $16,000 in years.
That's
to
right.
Get our hands on it. We had to bribe a whole bunch of people, but we got it.
And you can also see, I think you mentioned this earlier, but as the Kennedy's limousine is leaving, you can see it almost hits another car parked underneath the underpass.
Yeah.
And that guy's not there. And it just shows everything. So, Tom Donahue, you're a liar.
Well, he may not be a liar. He may be going on what everybody else is telling him. See, I don't know where Tom Donahue's coming from. He's never talked to me in his life. I've never said anything bad about him. I don't know why Tom Donahue is doing what he's doing now, unless he turns out to be another Freemason, and we don't know that, but we're going to start checking. He may just be trusting that that Grodin and Lifton and all these other people are really the experts that they claim to be, not realizing that they're lying. And not having the brains to look into their past and look into what they say, rather than blindly believe them. So if he's purposely doing this, then of course he's a liar. If he's not, then without any doubt he's a sheeple.
And also, I'd like to say, I think you heard it yesterday. Tom Valentine sure ducked his way out of that question that last caller asked him.
Oh yeah.
And if you're listening, that caller, you really did a good job. And if you're listening, Tom Valentine, you're going to be getting a call from me too. So you better be ready.
Who are you?
This is Mark.
I know, but who are you, Mark? Those people out there don't know who you are.
I'm a CADSI member.
And what did you do in Washington, D.C.?
I reached out and shook Tom Valentine's hand, and I reached over and hit his third knuckle with my thumb, and he got a smile on his face and did it right back to me.
And what is that?
That's the Master Mason's grip.
All right. Thanks for calling, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Oh, boy. Well, you never know who can get through, because at any one time, there's a whole bunch of people dialing the phone. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you, Bill?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. This is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Well, I've got scores of questions, but if you would, perhaps two.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you familiar with...
We heard from the people who have the Sacrifice King, so you can talk about whatever you want.
Well, thank you. I was hoping that I'd given enough time. Are you familiar with some controversy over a child pornography or slavery ring out of Lincoln, Nebraska?
I've heard about it, yeah.
I heard just a few things about it on another program, which I don't listen to anymore because they're full of crap.
And I have to tell you, I've gotten thick letters from young people who claim to have been a victim of this.
I hate to think. I can just imagine.
The reason I haven't talked about it on the air is, number one, we haven't had the time to investigate it. Number two, there's a lot of things that give me bad vibes about this whole thing, about the letters that we've received, about the allegations that have been made, about the supposedly George Bush as the head of this child pornography ring. I don't care how bad George Bush has ever been in his life. I just can't believe that.
Well, that's what the thing that I heard was that it went all the way to the White House, and that's where they left it.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. I'm sorry, but I can't believe it. Somebody's going to have to show me some proof. When I hear things like that, I've got to have a lot more proof than just somebody say so.
Right. I just, because it had been so long since I'd heard about it, I was curious
yeah.
as to how much discussion there'd been about it.
Gun running, drug dealing, members of secret societies trying to bring about a new world order. These are all things I can understand, I can deal with. I can see that coming out of the White House. I can see it coming from all different directions. But
right.
for somebody like George Bush to get mixed up in a child kidnapping and slavery and pornography ring and...
Right. Well, I never necessarily heard that it was...
Oh, yeah.
I never heard that it was necessarily the president involved, but that it went all the way to the top of the federal government. That's why there was people turning up dead, because they had discussed it, and I just wondered if there was any further discussion since I'd heard about it. The other thing I wanted to ask you was, are you familiar with the tape about FEMA by a person named Mark out of Michigan?
Yeah, we've discussed that many times on this program.
Could you please tell me if that has any credibility in
As far as I'm concerned, until Mark clears up the discrepancy about his military history, he claimed he was a member of the 40th Ranger Battalion, which does not exist. We are very leery of Mr. Mark from Michigan simply because of that. Now, a lot of the information that he's given out, we have verified. Some of it we can't verify. But one thing we can verify, there is no and has not been any 40th Ranger Battalion.
I was curious about that, too, but I thought maybe that was just a cover. The fact that a military organization was mentioned would tend to lend credibility to someone who wasn't familiar with the military, but, you know, you wouldn't want to leave too many footprints, perhaps. But I was just curious because I found it interesting, although some of it was just so far...
Yeah, to me, a guy can get up and make all kinds of mistakes in what he's presenting to the public. That's only human. But when he says that he was a member of a non-existent battalion, that's nothing. There's nothing human about that. I mean, that's an outright deception. Until he clears that up, I'm not telling you not to listen to him.
Right.
I'm not telling you that he's not telling the truth. Maybe there's an explanation for it, but I can't put it in the truth puzzle until that's cleared up.
I understand. One more thing, please.
Yeah.
Are copies of that, original copies of the Sacrifice King available from any source?
Yeah, from us.
Kaji?
Yeah.
I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Bless you and your family. Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I interrupt here, Bill, and tell you that we're just not...
I'm going to get some coffee.
We're just not going to be able to take off for Canada until you sell 10 more JFK videos. Because you've only sold 250 approximately this year, according to our production manager in Phoenix. And there's just no way you can go to our third area of our new region. Sorry to disappoint you. Also, I could add here that a couple of people have called in wondering where to purchase or to get the 26 missing pages from the NACFA document. I suggest that you return to the original person from whom you purchased your document and explain that you've received an incomplete document, you've paid for it, and you deserve to receive the missing 26 pages.
Yeah, and I see the look on Chuck Carter's face when you send him back and ask him for the complete copy.
Or your money back. You might ask for your money back.
Oh, yeah, and if he has to refund $700,000... whatever he charged for those incomplete NAFTA packages. I'd like to be there. You guys let me know if you're going to do that. I want to zip down to Florida and just put a beard on and walk in there and just see the look on his face. So I was in here getting coffee. I didn't hear what you said. You mean we're not making millions of dollars?
Well, 250 copies since January, and January was the first month you began to sell your JFK Sacrifice King. And our production manager who makes the...
Well, there goes the Learjet.
No, there goes your trip to Canada also.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You've been to Mexico.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the phones. 602-333-2174. If you're wondering why you couldn't get through just then, I forgot to put the phone back on the hook or the button or whatever you call this thing. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill Cooper, Mark from San Diego.
Hi, Mark.
You know, adults are very skeptical when you tell them that Kennedy was shot by the driver. And I was trying to show this to my brother-in-law, and all I have a copy of is the tape that you gave to Ralph Epperson to sell. Now, I was showing it to my brother-in-law.
Yeah, if I was making millions, and if I was a greedy person, you think I'd give a tape to Ralph Epperson to sell?
Well, sure. You know, you wanted to purchase that island off of Tahiti somewhere, didn't you?
Yeah. Only thing is, I give it to him. He sells it. I don't get anything.
We had a call-in today who said he went to Tahiti about 2 years ago, and he was really disappointed.
Oh. Well, anyway, getting back to the film, first off, I wanted to ask you, the Ralph Epperson copy, I don't see any emulsion scrapings on that at all.
That's because it's not the Sacrifice King.
Okay, but is that the original, is that the Zapruder film, or is that a doctored copy?
Well, they're all the doctored. They all come from the original Zapruder film, and they're all doctored.
So if I was to get your...
What you're seeing is an older film. If you were to get the one that we have now, you'll see it frame by frame.
Okay.
You'll be able to study anything in it that you want to. You'll see the bullet coming through the window. You'll see the car under the overpass. You'll see everything that you've never seen before, and nobody will ever tell you.
Great, because... because I set my 2-year-old nephew down while I was talking to my brother-in-law, and my 2-year-old nephew had never, you know, of course he'd never seen anything like this before. He turns around and says, "Uncle Mark, he shot that guy."
Yeah, you got it.
through the eyes of children,
uh-huh,
who had never seen anything like this before, he could see
that's right.
The driver turned around and shot him. But because we are adults and we're very skeptical and we see things with, you know, because we don't want to believe them, we sort of play tricks with ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
So if a 2-year-old kid can see it on an old 5th-generation copy from Ralph Epperson on a 2-head machine,
uh-huh,
then, you know, you should be able to see it.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I had some other questions, but I forgot what they were. So I'll let someone else get on.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Got to remember, folks, that the most successful assassinations in history were done right next to the victim in front of thousands of people. Robert Kennedy was assassinated in front of hundreds of people. And there's a guy in jail who didn't do it. Sirhan didn't do it. The guy who did it was standing right next to Robert Kennedy, shot him right behind his right ear, with the muzzle almost completely touching his skin, and he's disappeared. And nobody wants to talk about it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to put in my 2 cents on your video.
Go for it.
I got it. And if people are really skeptical, they can get it right from a public source and go rent it down at their local video store on the JFK conspiracy. They have the Zapruder video, and they just got to slow it down, and it's identical to the one you have.
What do you mean identical? It has all the missing footage?
You see the windshield get shattered? I mean, obviously... you see the driver turn around, you see the emulsion scraped off. It looks identical to the one you have.
You can see the car under the overpass?
Yep, and you see the right brake light opaked out.
Oh, if that's...
This is a public source. Anybody can get it.
Well, great, because if that's true, then I want you to get it, folks, and look at it, because then you can't claim that I did anything
exactly
to it.
Exactly. I mean, they can...
What's the name of this film?
It's called The JFK Conspiracy with James Earl Jones. And it was done in 1992, and it's 98 minutes long.
All right.
The local video stores, I found it, so.
Oh, is that the one where Victor Marchetti and Daniel Sheehan and all those people were on this panel?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, the rest.
Oh, man. You got a Jesuit. You got an ex-operations director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Who else was up there?
It's loaded with, you know, who is all behind it, but, I mean.
There's no such thing as ex-CIA, people. It is impossible. Cannot happen.
And yet it's right there.
That's right. The only ex-CIA people are dead people.
And what's interesting, though, is your video at least explains why it all happened. They don't tell you that.
Plus you get to see what's really in Dealey Plaza, and they don't tell you that either.
Exactly. I mean, you had the missing link, and anyone can go look it up in the library. I mean, LBJ was so easily documented. He was a Mason. Gerald Ford on the Warren Commission panel, whatever you want to call it, he was a Mason. Chief Justice Warren was a 33rd degree Mason. I mean, these are so easily documented.
Yeah, so was Ford.
Yeah.
And did you know all the...
Russell was.
All the Mercury astronauts were Freemasons, and all of the Apollo astronauts were Freemasons? Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't.
Well, now you are.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I do have one question for you.
Wouldn't surprise me if anything that we thought happened didn't really happen at all, either.
Yeah, that too. Right. We don't know what to believe anymore.
Let me interrupt and add that I heard that they were considering another location for the assassination, and I rather doubt it. I think there was too much there in Dallas, and there was really only the one place.
That's right.
Can I ask one other quick question?
Real quick, because we're almost out of time.
You know, I'm the one who's sending you this back on the disarmament. It's roughly 230 pages.
Oh, Paul, yeah.
You'll be getting it soon. I don't know if you recognize my voice.
Yeah, I recognize your voice.
Oh, yeah, you'll get it. Believe me.
Are you ready to go on the air with that stuff?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to it.
Fantastic. Well, Paul is a CAGI member, folks. Paul has been specifically concentrating his research on the Federal Reserve and on the disarmament agency. And what he has discovered, I can't wait to tell you the truth, Paul. As soon as I get it, I'll call you.
Okay.
And we'll arrange an air date, and we'll just knock these people right flat on their butts out of their chairs.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I've got it compiled in a 3-ring binder, and I have not had one person make it through it. It's unbelievable.
Wonderful.
But one question I'd like to ask real quick is, some of these biographies I've been looking up on people is, they're members of the Order of, and then it's capital C, and then small letters OIF, period. Is that a secret society, or do you know much on them? I haven't found much on it.
I'd have to see it. I can't tell just from that. I have to see it, how it's written. It all means something.
When I send some of these biographies, like Hoover was a Shriner in a 33rd. It's so obvious, but I'll get this together, and then I'll, after you see it, maybe you, because I have found nothing on the COIS.
Okay, I gotta go.
Last thing, the symbol on your book,
yeah.
A lot of people have asked,
uh-huh.
And it's the Sanskrit, it's Om. It's Sanskrit for Om. Anyone can easily document
that's
that, too.
That's the lost word, the omnific word of Freemasonry.
Okay.
Well, so much
for that. It's not surprising.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Nobody in this world would publish my book but her, so I had no choice.
It's getting awkward.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, folks, we're going to publish the results, including the documentation of Paul's research. So stand by for that. That's going to
get it in about probably a week to 10 days or so.
Okay, we got to go.
Yep.
Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again, with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know my dream. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I have this hand up next to you, and it makes her still today. But there ain't no doubt I love this man. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've just discovered through our research, looking at who's who in America during the Nixon administration, that Pat Buchanan is a member of the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign and Military Order of the Knights of Malta. Happy Thanksgiving. Men who died, who gave